Our text this Lord's Day morning comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. In the congregation where I serve in Cape May County, we've been considering a series in the Gospel of Luke. And we come now to this portion of Luke's Gospel. As our Lord Jesus Christ steadily draws closer and closer to Jerusalem, where he will give his life as a ransom for many. Let us now again hear the living word of God from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him, and healed him, and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. The Pharisees, at this point in Jesus' ministry, are, as it were, baring their fangs more and more. That hostility which began at the beginning of Jesus' ministry has only spread and deepened, and they're not concealing as much as they had their animosity and hostility to the Master. But at other times there seems to be some courtesy. How much of that is because there was perhaps some in their midst who were maybe more open-minded than some of the others? Certainly Nicodemus was a rabbi, a teacher in Israel, who was struck and very much moved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore let us also learn not to allow prejudices to settle in our minds, even against many people who have proven themselves to be enemies of God, because God may indeed be striving with some souls among them. And there is the restraint, as it were, of common grace. And so we have an instance where one of the chief of the Pharisees invites Jesus into his house to have a meal together on the Sabbath day. And the Lord Jesus Christ does not pass up this opportunity, as one of the church fathers put it. Although our Lord knew the malice of the Pharisees, yet he became their guest that he might benefit by his words and miracles those who are present. And that takes great wisdom and care, doesn't it? Because we are not to be of the world, yet in the world. As we have heard the Apostle Paul saying that we must come out of the world and touch not the unclean thing, yet he will not transport us out of this life, but will have us remain even among those who do not fear God. And perhaps if we are faithful, and as we are careful, that the Lord may use us to save some sinners as brands plucked out of the burning. And let us also follow the example of the Lord, who never believed that anyone short of death or the sin against the Holy Ghost was past the point of no return. No one is invincible to the effectual call of a sovereign God. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ accepts this dinner invitation. And there is a circumstance, one who was there who had the dropsy. Apparently this is a term in the Greek that refers to edema, the noticeable swelling of parts of the body, often the extremities, that points to some kind of defect in the inside of, of one who suffers from such a disease. And Jesus sees him. And then Jesus takes the opportunity, because he knows that he's in the company of these Pharisees, indeed the one who owns that house and who has opened his home to him is one of them, and he takes this opportunity not only to heal this poor man, but to teach. To teach law and gospel. In this dinner table conversation, in fact, we have what we may say is dinner table catechism. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Well, Jesus isn't asking that for information, is he? He's asking that to teach, and to teach us. Let us, therefore, be good students, and let us hear the teaching of the Master. Consider, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? First, the question, and second, the answer. First, the question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Jesus replies to the secret thoughts of many. They hadn't openly said it, but they're all thinking it. And this isn't the first time. We've seen this already earlier and elsewhere in Jesus' ministry, where Jesus intentionally healed a poor sufferer on the Sabbath. One man, you may remember, a man with a withered hand. Perhaps it was his right hand. Perhaps it disabled him from laboring for himself and for his family, an incapacitating difficulty. And at that point, we read that they watched him. The very same language that we have here. They watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And so also here. And it came to pass, verse 1, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. This isn't just casual observation. Their eyes are narrowed. They're seeking to discern, they're watching closely, they're tracking his every movement or even facial gesture, as we sometimes look at the sky and try to discern what is about to happen. So these men are looking, they're watching Jesus, and the most of them are clearly not open-minded. They're watching that they might entrap him. Later in Luke's gospel, in Luke chapter 20, we read them at it again. They watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men, that they may take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him unto the power and authority of the governor. They're colluding with the Gentiles, the heathen. And oftentimes, as we considered last week, as an aside, that's often the case with the world. The kingdom of darkness is not a monolith. It often is a coalition of different parties and forces, but they're unified on this one thing, that they hate God and his Christ. And so it's a dirty, filthy partnership. They watch him. They're not open-minded. Dear friends, it's not enough to see Jesus. You've got to see him as he is. It's not enough to be in his presence. But you must be truly open to him. These men were not open to him, at least the majority. He knew it was on their minds. They were just waiting for him. In fact, it's possible, we don't know this, it's possible that this man with the dropsy was a plant. That they intentionally brought him into the synagogue and maybe invited him or encouraged him after the Sabbath meeting to go into the house of this Pharisee, because here's another opportunity to entrap Jesus as one who in their minds is a lawbreaker because he disregards the Sabbath. You see, the Pharisees were on the other side of the extreme of what we call antinomianism, where anything goes. No, they're on the side of, we're in favor of the law and our traditions and all the strictness and, of course, our own self-righteousness, placing burdens on others that they themselves would not lift one little finger to alleviate the hurt. They watched him. They watched Jesus. And maybe some of you may say, well, if I were there, I would be open-minded. Would you be? Are you born open-minded? Are you born truly automatically disposed to truthfulness and sincerity? Are you free from these Jews who are so filled with their prejudices? Are you free from that blindness? The blindness that is spread over all mankind, the God of this world, blinding the eyes of men. Yes, you're in the house of God, and praise be to his name. And if indeed God has opened your mind, if he first made you open to Jesus, and then in that opening which he created, he entered and took out your heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh, it's only of grace. It's only of grace. And yet not everyone in the visible church are truly open-minded or truly on Jesus' side. You don't have to be a Pharisee to be an enemy of Jesus. You don't have to be a self-righteous legalist to be an enemy of Jesus. That may not be your problem. But the question is, are you truly open to Jesus, and have you truly surrendered to him, and have you allowed him? You have stopped asking your loaded questions, because they're not honest questions. And you know you need to hear from Jesus. You need your mind challenged. You need to be corrected. You need to fall at his feet. You need to close your mouth and become as Mary at the feet of Jesus. Or maybe some of you who have been walking with the Lord, you've fallen into a pattern of backsliding. Gross backsliding and hypocrisy. And maybe you've become hardened with legalism and self-righteousness, comparing yourself with others. Having begun in the Spirit, you think to be made perfect by the flesh. Jesus challenges you this morning. Wake up. Wake up. And stop asking your loaded questions and receive mine. And truly, if you will receive my questions, my challenges, my doctrine, my teaching, it will be well with you. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Now, he says that out loud, but really, in his catechism, if we can put it that way, in his instruction by question, there's already been a quiet catechism going on. Is Jesus true and trustworthy? Is he a good man? Or does he mislead the people? That's a question. Are Jesus' powers from heaven? It's rather obvious that he has powers. But are those powers from God? Or is he an agent of the evil one? Does he cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils? is Jesus the Son of the living God, the very Christ? Dear friends, some of those questions had been on the minds of these men, and they had already answered them. Absolutely not. They weren't open. And they've already decided what the answer to the question is. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And yet they're silent when Jesus asks it. Now, they probably all had the answer ready at hand, but it didn't serve the purpose at the time for them to say it, because they're not honest men. And he challenges them with a loaded question. Now, it's loaded not in their sense of a loaded question. Jesus doesn't have an agenda like sinners, like you and I. We ask questions, but they're really challenges, aren't they? But when Jesus gives a loaded question, he's doing it to arrest sinners, to grab them by the collar and wake them up. We need those kinds of loaded questions. Even as sincere believers who have many years of experience, sometimes we need to have our Job 38 moment, where God barrages us with rhetorical questions. Where were you when I founded the earth? But if Jesus challenges you with a loaded question, know that he does it for your good. It may be painful. It may be humbling, but it's for your good. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? We shouldn't even have to ask the question, but it's because of sin. And it's because of hardness of heart and inhumanity to our fellow man. It's because of self-righteousness. Because we've got all the answers and no one can really instruct us. And observe, before we proceed, that our Lord presumes the abiding validity of the Sabbath day ordinance. That's not in question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? So many professing Christians, they've listened to the lie that somehow the fourth commandment expired with the coming of Jesus. To be sure, with his resurrection, the day changed. And to be sure, certain ceremonial aspects passed away with the end of the Jewish church. But the Lord founded the Sabbath at the very beginning of the world. It is, as Professor Murray put it, a creation ordinance. Just as marriage, just as labor. Laboring is not an optional thing, as long as we have strength and clarity of mind. 6 days shalt thou labor. Has that expired with the coming of Jesus? Of course not. It's a part of the very fabric of our human existence as those who are made in the image of God. He calls us to labor, and he gives us 6 days for our own employments in this world, and he reserves to himself one as a day for him. The question is not, does the Sabbath continue? That's not the question. Jesus never actually abolishes the Sabbath, does he? But he often clarifies what it means to keep it, what is sin and what isn't sin. And here the question is a question of what is right or appropriate on the day. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And that itself, of course, presumes the lawfulness and unlawfulness of various activities on his holy day. Now, while a sermon this morning should not be taken up with this whole question, nevertheless, our forefathers were right to say that the Sabbath is to be spent in a holy resting all that day, even from those worldly employments and recreations that are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time, not just the morning. It's not the Lord's morning, it's the Lord's day. Spending the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship. We gather together as the people of God, but we have a day in which privately, in our families, or just alone by ourselves, we can be in nature and see the God of glory and dwell with Him. And like John on the Isle of Patmos, who couldn't go to church, yet he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And so this is not a day for us to do whatever we please. We're not to work on it or to engage in those other recreations that may be lawful on other days, but to sanctify it as His day, except in the cases of works of necessity and mercy. And this, of course, is one of those passages that supports Christ's exceptions, God's exceptions, except in the case of necessity and mercy. But the exception proves the rule, doesn't it? It is not a day for us to take advantage of the rest and then just do all kinds of different activities. But when mercy is to be shown, mercy is to be shown. Because, dear friends, misery doesn't rest on the Sabbath, does it? Many of you, you bring, sadly, you wish you didn't have to, but you bring your miseries. I bring mine, you bring yours, and sometimes it's a struggle to focus on the sermon. But Jesus doesn't just brush those aside. He's compassionate. He's kind. And it is lawful to heal. It is lawful to do good, to restore on the Sabbath day. And Jesus has no scruple, which is why He just brushes aside their objections and goes forward with it. And let us be unashamed to do the Lord's work, regardless of what other people think. We answer to Him, not to man. But let us also, very briefly, considering that Jesus is instructing these things at the dinner table, let us also observe that we ought to take occasions to speak of spiritual things during informal settings, especially on the Lord's Day. Observe also that we ought to instruct those who are entrusted to our care, especially in divine matters, not just in church, not just in catechism class, nor even just at home in family worship, as though those 15 minutes that we spend opening the Bible and discussing the things of God, we close the book and that's all we're going to say about the Lord. No, Deuteronomy 6 says, talk about these things as you rise up, walk by the way, lie down at night. Jesus was a spiritually minded man. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so let us take advantage of those informal seasons. Let us take advantage of those dinner times to speak about the things of God. And use the knowledge and the light and the influence that God has given us with others. And let us also take a page, as it were, out of our Lord's book concerning one of our Lord's favorite methods of teaching, the judicious use of questions. Questions help us think. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Well, let us now move as time is quickly passing, to the answer, which is a three-part answer. First, the answer by deed. And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Jesus practiced what he preached. You and I don't. That's why we need a Savior. And once he saved us, he calls us to imitate him and to practice what we preach. Go and bless. Go and do good. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit widows in their affliction and orphans, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Jesus went about doing good, and he healed. And he did it not just on 6 days. Sometimes he did it intentionally on the Sabbath day, because that's in keeping with the healing, restoring, blessing that God has laid up for the Sabbath day. God made our souls and he made our bodies. We need both to be renewed and restored. And God is doing that even now, isn't he, dear friends? He is renewing our youth as the eagles, so that we may leave this place reinvigorated, but not just to sit back and enjoy all our blessings, but to spread them and to share them with others. Freely you have received, Christian. Freely give. Second, he answered not only by deed, but by word, by question and illustration. Which of you shall have an ass or a donkey or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? He asks another question. This is more catechism class. He challenges their thinking. We need to be challenged, and we need to, as God gives us opportunity, and as we have a place and a calling, help others who aren't thinking as they should. To challenge them, to ask them questions that unsettle, that make them think. You know, many of us, we may find ourselves struggling with evangelism to share the gospel, but may I suggest, if you can do nothing else, start with a thoughtful question. Why is there evil in this world? So-and-so got cancer. Why is that? Is there a meaning to life? Your wife left you. Is there meaning to that? Is there purpose in that? Is marriage important? Is marriage sacred? Let's help others by asking them questions that they're not asking and that they need to ask. He uses illustration. And he knew, and they knew, what the answer was. Many of them who would have animals who fell into a pit, they would immediately go and they'd reach and they'd pull them out. It's a very powerful image, isn't it? They have pity on a donkey, on an ox of theirs that has fallen into a pit, but will they pity another and help them and restore them? And last, the answer by conscience. Which of you? And they could not answer him again of these things. Which man did sin? Him or his parents? The Lord Jesus Christ exposes the hypocrisy of his enemies, who in exalting the Sabbath degrade man below the level of a beast. And that was never the purpose of the Sabbath. Man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for man. Now it is a day. It is a day for us to focus on the Lord. But that's not at the exclusion of human beings. God has made the Sabbath for our own spiritual and also physical and emotional well-being. And he has given promises, hasn't he? That if you keep the Sabbath and turn away your foot from doing your pleasure on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, then I will bless you. I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll restore you and renew you. And he does that today, doesn't he? And so we ought to receive Jesus' healing and be a part of healing others on the Sabbath day spiritually. And as we have opportunity, let us do good. And let us be a part of healing and restoring and renewing. And once again, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware. We've seen it before. We will see it again. Beware. Amen.